Hi, it's Alexis Ray, and we are doing Bold Movers and Shakers today. Yeah, I like to rhyme. What can I say? I happen to have an amazing person with me today. This is Sean Douglas. And if it weren't for seven or odd possible titles that he has, I would totally introduce you, Sean, but I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, Alexis, I am honored to be here, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to have me on the show. I am an Air Force veteran, served in the military for almost 20 years.
Wow.
And I'm a master resilience implementer, teaching resilience skills. I'm also a suicide awareness trainer, host of Life Transformation Radio, which is my radio show. I'm a TEDx speaker, professional keynote speaker. I'm a business positioning strategist, and I'm also an author.
What's your book called?
My two books are Decisions. Yeah, Decisions, The Power to Overcome Self-Defeating Behaviors. And the second book is The No BS, No Fluff Guide to Getting Booked to Speak.
Why doesn't that surprise me? That title suits you. Yeah,
that's my trademark. Like the no BS, no fluff guide.
I love it. You have an awful lot of amazing things that you're doing. It's not an awful lot. It's amazing. But it wasn't always that way for you. No. So what I'd like to do is dive into where you've come from to show folks how it was for a cocky kid with a chip on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. And mom and dad divorced when I was in first grade. Mom remarried when I was in second grade. And from that time to seventh grade, so from two to seven,
yes.
I was physically abused a lot of, like, almost, you know, every couple of days, every weekend.
Nice.
You know, she married a drug addict and an alcoholic. So when she wasn't getting beat, then it was me and my sister's turn.
Oh, no.
From the time that I was born to the time that I turned 18, we lived in 11 different houses and attended 8 different schools. Either we got evicted, we were running from him. We even lived in my grandparents' basement twice. We would lose the house because of some other reason or, you know, what have you. We'd live with somebody for a little bit, you know. So it was just, it was rough.
I can't even imagine. And somewhere later in life, not that much longer after that, you didn't want to be here. Right.
Yeah, I joined the military right at, like, the day after 9/11. I was like, I'm going to go in the military. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, you know, everybody's so patriotic. So I left for the Air Force in November. And I found myself in Iraq about a year and a half later.
Wow.
Within a year and a half, I was in there. So 2003, right when everything kicked off, we were deployed. So yeah, about a year and a half.
Man.
And it just, I found alcohol at an early age because where we could drink overseas. There wasn't like a legal drinking limit, right? Like there is in the States. If you serve overseas, then you're subjected to their laws. And their drinking age is 18. So you have a bunch of 18, 19-year-olds drinking all the time.
Sure.
Emotional distress comes up when people start drinking or doing drugs or whatever. And mine came up in a lot of ways. Come 2008, I had married, but I was never in a place that I should be married. We married because that was the right thing to do. Because we got together and she had a kid. It was like, might as well get married, like, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And I wasn't in a space in my head to be married. I wanted to party. I wanted to live a lifestyle, rock star lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, she left, took the kids, gone. And I was like, you know what? I screw everything up. I have no value. I mess everything up. I always do everything wrong. And so Christmas Eve of 2008, I put a 9mm in my mouth and was ready to just end it.
Wow. That's a big step. That, wow.
It was a yearly decline. Like, year over year, it was like, I messed that up. Then I messed that up. And it was like, I can never get any wins.
Yeah, it would have to have reminded you of the abuse that you got as a kid. Is that you're not good enough.
100%.
Man. So you're here, obviously. I don't want to gloss over the moment that brought you to that. What happened?
Yeah, so people called, like coworkers and family and, you know, what have you. You know, I got a phone call from my father, who we absolutely don't have a relationship. You know, we might text every once in a while, but, you know, he has his own family.
Yeah.
Which I'm reminded of every time we talk. Well, I have my own family, you know. And so, you know, he calls, he's like, what's going on? And you know, he's in the military, so he's kind of walking me through some things. I got coworkers, I got other family members, and I didn't want to, right? It wasn't like, I'm so happy for this. You know, I'm not like throwing a celebration party, but I just saw no other way. And that's what it is. You recognize that they feel like there is no other way.
Yeah.
I thought people would be better off without me. I thought that I wouldn't screw everything up and people would forget about me and nobody cared about me. Nobody loved me. Like, why am I here? You always ask, like, why am I here? Like, what's the point? I'm not doing anything of value. I'm making people mad and angry and people hate me, you know? So why be here?
Yeah.
So they stopped me. They took me to the chaplain. They got me some help, got me some therapy, you know, whatever I needed. And I got into personal development. I became a drill instructor for basic training, which put me on the path to speaking, which I absolutely love and enjoy.
Nice.
And even though, you see, the first business I built was an entertainment company, like DJing for weddings at bars and clubs, putting on conferences and events. Like, we were an event company, like an entertainment company. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in bars and clubs during that time, from 04 to 08. That period from 04 to 08 was my downfall. That was my, like, starting that business and having a bunch of money and then spending all the time in bars. That was my downfall.
So because of the choices that you made? Is that
100%.
Okay.
You're sitting there. So I'm drinking away my profits, right?
Yeah.
I'm making friends with people who are worse off than me in life. Taking advice from those who are worse off than me in life and making selfish, self-serving decisions. What would that that's going to benefit me? I want to do that. I never served anybody. I wanted people to serve me.
Wow.
Because as my stepfather would show us that he is top dog and everybody else is underneath him. Women, children, they're underneath him. They serve him. So I took that as, I guess that's the way I have to be, because that's what was programmed for me.
Sure. How do you
come to find out? Not so much.
How do you undo that? I mean, that would be a bold move, just to pull yourself up out of those trenches.
Yeah. Reprogramming. I became a drill instructor and people are like, man, you got to get turned down to John Maxwell. I'm like, who's John Maxwell? Like, man, do you know who Tony Robbins is? I'm like, I don't. Who's that? I don't know who Tony Robbins is. Like, I didn't know any of these guys. Who's Tony Robbins? Who's Zig Ziglar? But like, you name the biggest guy in the world, I don't know who that is. Like, I have no Jack Canfield. I'm like, who's that? Chicken Soup Guy? I'm like, oh yeah, oh, great book. I read like a couple pages.
Yeah.
I wasn't reading, you know, I knew any of that. But when I became a drill instructor, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I have to consume and I have to consume and I have to, like, this is amazing. And then I started feeling more value. And the people told me that they valued me, and people told me, because I wasn't tucked in at night as a kid. It was go to bed before I beat you.
Yeah.
Get out of my face. Go to bed.
Yep. Yep. Grew up with that myself. My heart goes out to you. Yeah, it sucks. You know. Yep. Yeah, when a kid grows up that way.
Yep. So I always tell my kids, good night, love you.
Yeah.
Good night. You know, we used to tuck them in, but, you know, I have a 12-year-old. So when I say, hey, time for bed, love you, good night, then she knows, all right, love you. You know, hugs and kisses, and she's off to bed. I don't have to tuck her in. But I have a 4-year-old that I tuck in.
Aw. So you remarried the same lady.
This. So we divorced in 2008. We got back together and we got. Yeah.
No, it happens. It happens. And people have, they decide to do a second shot at it because they've grown up, or they realize whatever didn't work before is not present now, whatever it is. And it's that in itself, Sean, is a bold move. You would have probably taken some flack, maybe some less than supportive remarks.
Tons. One person referred to getting remarried to the same person as putting poop back into your butt.
Ew. No, that's terrible.
Like, dude, once it's out, it's out. It's it. Done. Yeah. Don't do that again. Right?
Disgusting.
You don't want to repeat the process. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, dude, that was a crap relationship. Like, why would you do that? Like, because I love her. And, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we got remarried and, you know, we got back together. And 2 years later, we're separated again. Because it's just, you know, we couldn't get past the past. Like, literally, like, we'd always fight about the past. We'd always compete against each other and and all that. But now, you know, I look at it 10 years later, you know, we're more like, hey, I need you. Hey, we need to complete each other. There's no competition. Wow. You know, I mean, friendly competition, like who can, you know, drive better or, you know, who can do whatever faster, like, you know, just friendly, like, you know, but it's not like, no, I have to be right. And I remind myself, I remind my wife, you know, if I feel like one of us go down that road, you know, I'll tell her like, look, my need to be right doesn't matter as much as my relationship with you. So whatever, if you think that that's what happened, if you think that, you know, did I put the cup on the counter? Like something stupid, right? Like, oh, because I didn't take out the trash. Like, you know, you need to be right when I know I did it. You know, I'm not going to fight with you.
Yeah.
My need to be right has no bearing here.
Well, that works. So that kind of leads into compromise and a conversation about that. When you're doing what you're doing, she's doing what she's doing. How does that fit? Because you're a really busy guy and you've got four kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's full house. So how do you make it all work, Sean?
Yeah, I'm uncompromising. Like literally uncompromising. Although we compromise.
I think you should define what that means because I know you mean it differently.
Yeah. So uncompromising in who I am and what I love.
There you go. There you go.
I'm uncompromising in when I say I have family time and people try to call me, I have family time. There's people that will just randomly call me and like text me first, like or especially around the time that you normally want to call me, because maybe I don't know, maybe they're in Australia. I don't know. I'm like, text me first, and I'll figure out what we're doing. But past like 8 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Eastern time, I'm no longer available. It's family time. We're winding down, right? We're watching movies. We're whatever we're doing, right? For dinner, I don't answer the phone. So between like 6:30 and 7 p.m. that's our dinner time. It's scheduled. So to answer your question, how do you balance it all? Number one rule of success is to schedule everything. Your whole entire day is scheduled. Everything is scheduled.
Wow.
What time are you eating dinner? What time are you going to bed? What time is your appointments? What time, like you schedule everything.
Wow.
If you look on your calendar and you have nothing between 4:30 and 5:30 p.m., then put something there and then do it. I don't care if it says Netflix and chill. I don't care if it says go cut the grass, go take out the trash, go do chores. Like white space equals dead time. And that's bad.
Why?
Because that's an hour that you could be using to do something like we're doing right now.
Right. Okay.
And everything needs to be scheduled.
Wow. That's pretty rigid though. What if a project takes too long or longer than you scheduled? What do you do? How do you handle that?
Do it the next day.
Okay, then it goes back on the schedule. You stick to
it. It goes back on the schedule for tomorrow.
Okay.
So from 3:30 to 4:30, I had this one thing. I didn't get it all done. How far away am I? Am I 5 minutes away? Okay, I'm 5 minutes away. Let me finish it up. Take me 5 minutes. And then if you're not done in 5 minutes or you say, you know, 10 minutes or whatever, then you move on to the next thing. And if you cut into, let's say it's 4:35 and you're supposed to go to 5 and you need that full time, you just lost 5 minutes. Better work faster. So stick to your schedules. It's about discipline. And the disciplined people, especially like military, the disciplined people get it. And the disciplined people win.
Because there's consistent action in the direction that they're going.
Consistent action, and they're uncompromising. They're unwavering. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it 100%. Right? But if something like, if I'm organized, like right now, for example, right now, we're doing this show, and all of a sudden my phone rings, I'm not going to answer it.
Right.
I'm not going to go, well, hold on, let me, but guess what people do? They're sending an email, a notification on their phone pops up,
And now they're doing Facebook and social media instead of sending the email like they said they were going to.
Squirrel.
It's the distractions, right? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So if you say what you're going to, like, schedule social media time. Or turn your phone upside down or turn the notifications off or whatever. Do whatever it is that you need to do. Say, if I'm going to send 5 emails right now between 4:30 and 5, if I'm going to send 5 emails, then there should be nothing else going on in your life but sending those 5 emails.
You're that guy. You're about 100% in everything that you do.
100%. There is no 50-50. There's no 50-50 in marriage. There's no 50-50 in relationships. There's like whoever tells you that, oh, you got to meet them halfway. You got to go 50-50. Run. Do not listen to them. Run. Really? There is no 50-50. I go 100% into my relationship with my wife. I go 100% into my work. I go 100% right now in this show. Everything is 100%. Why would you give anything less then? Right. Why? Why give anything less than? And then you're going to hear some excuse like, well, you know, like meet in the middle. Like, no, me and my wife do not meet in the middle. Me and my wife high five each other in the middle and keep on going to the other end. There is no 50-50 in anything that you do. Because if you're only going to get 50%, then you have room for growth.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I would say that there's probably you make people uncomfortable. Let me just put it that way.
100% I do. And I don't care. No. So, I care more about myself than you care about myself. You know what I'm saying? So, I care more about my wife and my family and what I think about myself than everybody who hates on me on social media and says I'm this, you know, meanie head and, you know, whatever. I don't care. Are you paying me? No, then I don't care what you think. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are you like one of my close-knit, like really tight friends? Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, then I don't care. Like,
so I spent
zero time worrying about that stuff.
And that's a big switch from being raised up with somebody who wanted to tell you who you were, basically awful, and to be able to flip that around and not depend on the external feedback. Big deal. That's a bold move and a half, man, to be able to develop that. Do you have any tips on how somebody might be able to do that? Because we get the world mirrors back, but is that a foggy mirror? Is it a good source? I mean, how do you discern? Who do you listen to?
Oh,
I didn't mean to tax you.
that's a $1 million question.
That's what people need to know
and
how to do that.
What I've learned is that people live in the reality of what others think about them. They plant their mailbox, they plant their address and say, this is my level. This is my lot in life. This is the only place where I can go is right here.
That's what we were raised. You know, that was the paradigm for a while, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, I was raised like get good grades, go to college, get a good job. Right? Die. Yep. That was your life, right? Like, I'm talking like Leave It to Beaver, like, honey, I'm home, you know? Yeah. And like both of my grandmothers never got a driver's license. They never had a job. They stayed home and raised the kids. Wow. My aunts started doing the same things. And then my mom was like, I don't really care for that. My other aunt was like, maybe not, you know? So I had like 2 aunts that did that. I had like 3 aunts that did not. And my mom, like, you know, it's like, we don't do that anymore, right? I mean, if you look, like more women are trying to get into the workplace now. Yeah. And men are like, I'll be a stay-at-home dad. It's awesome. You know?
Yeah.
But it's just with everything, it's a balance. With everything that you do, it is an absolute balance. That's the simplest way I can put it.
So I don't know how you can balance what other people think with what you think of you.
So like if my wife says like I didn't like how you talked to me that way because I wholeheartedly care about the relationship, I'm like, really? How did I talk to you? Or like, what did I do? Or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not uncompromising the way like, oh well, I don't care how you feel. It's all about me. Like that becomes a fine line of egotistical.
That's what I'm talking
about. I'm not uncompromising in the way that I'm egotistical and say, well, it's all about me. And me. It's not that. I'm uncompromising in the way that I feel about myself.
There you go.
If I think that I'm completely amazing, or I'm awesome, or I'm the greatest speaker ever, you know, until I eat humble pie and bomb on stage, then I have no reason to think
with it.
If I bomb on stage and I suck, then guess what I'm thinking? Jeez, man, I suck. Holy crap. Man, I suck that up. Wow.
You know, holy Sean, crap. I mean, you're just the speaking platform alone, what you did in such a short period of time, to be able to elaborate, would you elaborate on that a little bit? And also how it was that you went from a kid that's been punched in the gut and kicked in the teeth and told he was absolute shit, to somebody who said, I have value, I can stand up here and I can do this. Was there an aha moment in which you went, I'm not that guy anymore?
Yes. Yeah. That was 2015. Yeah. That was 2015.
Okay.
So 2009 to 2013, I was a drill instructor and I was so good. Like I was so good. And so, 2009 to 2013, I was a drill instructor and I was putting people through basic training. I was screaming at people, teaching, training, mentoring, coaching, like the whole thing. And I just absolutely loved it because I was pretty much on stage all the time. And then, you know, that
screaming at people. Ended. I mean, like that gets a lot of energy out. That's actually a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was kind of like an anger release center, but anyway.
And that, I got my platform, right? I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing.
Your motivational speaker.
I'm loving it, right? I'm loving it. Yeah. And I'm getting booked at high schools and I'm getting booked. And so I'm kind of learning at the same time, like, well, who's the decision maker? And the principal, this person. Oh, cool, cool. So I'm getting booked at colleges and high schools. Would you like to come talk to, you know, this person? Like, that'd be awesome. And I do that enough times to where my name is getting thrown out to, well, this guy's a great speaker and this guy, this, you know, whatever. 2013, I transitioned. My time is up. You know, it's a 4-year tour, so my time is up. Mm-hmm. And I spent another couple months kind of getting used to the new location, the new job. And they said, hey, we're going to have a resilience program being built. Okay. You should be an instructor. We're learning, we're looking for a trainer. We're looking for an instructor. Like, that's awesome. I got back from my deployment in 2013. And in 2014, I became a master resilience trainer for the Air Force. Still do that today. At one point, I was running the entire program on the base that I'm at.
Wow.
And what was amazing about it was in 2015, a year after I started doing all this, I was like, this is it. This is what I'm doing.
It was a big
I'm doing this forever now. Yeah. This is it. I'm doing seminars. I'm doing trainings. I'm doing this, doing this, doing this. It's like, this is what I'm doing. I love this. And so I signed on with a professional seminar company and I was delivering professional seminars and getting paid for delivering whatever they wanted me to deliver, leadership, suicide awareness, whatever.
Right.
I was still doing the resilience training. In 2016, I started getting paid bookings like as a professional speaker. I wrote my first book, Decisions. And then in 2017, I started my radio show, Life Transformation Radio. In 2018, I started getting like 20 to 25 speed. I think I spoke almost 25. It was like 23 or 24 times. Paid speaking engagements, crushing it all the time, doing what I'm doing now. You know, in 2019, I'm getting bigger stages.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's so awesome. I'm starting a second podcast. I'm doing like, I'm just ramping up as I go. And then I retire from the military in November of 2021. So I'm doing all this as a side job or a side hustle while I'm serving full time in the military. So anybody's like, well, there's not enough time. Like, don't hand me that crap because I'm doing full time active duty military service and I'm managing to build multiple businesses. Wow. Don't tell me you don't have enough time.
Yeah. You said something about if your goals aren't.
Your goals aren't big enough, right?
Yeah.
If your goals aren't throat punching people, then they're not big enough.
That's a pretty big statement.
Yeah. If your goals and your dreams do not throw people back and go, wait, you're going to what? Right? They have a level of thinking about you that is lower than your potential. Because if I said, you know what, Alexis, I'm going to be a millionaire by January of 2020, go do it. Yeah, do it. You see my potential. If you were like, yeah, right, whatever, like you're not going to do that, then you don't see my potential. So when you tell people your goals and dreams and aspirations and things that you want to do in life, and they're like, yeah, that'll never happen. I don't care if it's like, I'm going to walk on the moon.
I'm going to be the first civilian to walk on the moon. You're like, yeah, right. Because we live in the reality of what other people think about us. So when people say you have to have realistic goals, well, who's realism? I guarantee you my realism and realistic goals are a lot bigger than yours. So if your goals and dreams do not throat punch people or make them laugh, they're not high enough.
Wow. That's a big statement. So one of the ways you open doors with the way you look at the world. So you're a potentiality, you're a possibility thinker.
Yes.
Yeah. And you kind of have a little formula for that. A yes sandwich. I'd like you to talk to that.
Oh, so I live my life by saying yes and figuring it out. Because when you say yes, you open the door to new opportunities and new possibilities that had you said no right away, that you would have been closed off to. And so if somebody said, like, if Alexa's like, Sean, you want to be on the podcast? I'm like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Or if I would say, no, I'm too busy or whatever, then two very big different things will happen. Anytime someone says, hey, would you like to invest in this? I'd be like, yeah, what's it about? Now you go into the figuring it out. Just because you say yes doesn't mean you're actually going to do it. You saying yes is conditioning your mind to open the door to the possibility of you taking action. So if somebody messages you on Facebook and they say, hey, would you like to invest in Forex? Automatically be like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Entertain it. I mean, I hate Forex and crypto, just saying. But you say, yeah, what's it about? Oh, well, this company and this company and this, that, and the other. And if it sounds like something you would do, this is the figuring it out process. Then you either say no or yes. I say no a lot, but I say yes a lot. The first thing I always say, as long as it's not illegal, is yes. Hey, I got an event that you should speak at. Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, it's going to cost you $5,000. No.
Like, no, thanks.
Like, no. So yeah, I'm not doing that.
Oh, that'll work. So then this brings up the point of the next point, which is how do you get out of it when you've said, yeah, tell me about it. There's a lot of people that will say yes and don't mean it, but they're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. They don't know how to say no, what have you.
How do you get out? So if I say yes and then it's.
Yeah. Well, you said you would be on my show, or you said you would, you know, people can take what you're doing differently than you might. You mean it.
Sure. Sure. So let's say Alexis says, Sean, would you like to be on my show? I'm like, yeah, tell me about it. Oh, Bold Movers Shakers. You know, we talk about people doing bold things, bold statements. It's an amazing show about overcoming. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Right?
Yeah.
When you're in the process of figuring it out and then you say yes, you have one of two options. You can follow through, which I always recommend you just follow through because that speaks to your professionalism. However, if it damages your brand or damages like your, you know, authenticity and transparency and whatever, now you have a decision to make, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to have that conversation. Like, hey, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. You know, I'm really sorry. This is what I thought it was going to be. I'm not feeling really good about it. But being honest, authentic, and transparent, that's going to win.
So let me ask you something, Sean, because I've encountered this, and we all have, no doubt.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Perfect. Yes.
I just want to make sure, because that's a big one. That's people get stuck on this. They don't want to let people down.
Right, right. And so instead of saying the truth, they ghost. They're gone. Disappear.
100%. They don't want. They run away from confrontation. It's their fight or flight response.
But there's no fight, you know, but I get it. Like, I know what you're saying. Right. But, okay. Right. So bearing that in mind, let me ask you something. If someone, you had that kind of interaction with someone once, where you asked them, they said, okay. And then later on when you revisited, hey, it's time to do that thing. They're just crickets.
Yeah.
And do you just decide then that that's probably not somebody who's living in integrity.
100%.
And then we're done.
Yeah. Like,
that's it.
100%. Yeah. 100%. So, you know, if you say yes to me, right, and we're on this thing and we're doing this thing and you don't follow through, you know, you pretty much have one chance. Like, are we doing this thing or are we not? Like, let me know. Right. And if they say no, it's like, okay, well, you kind of bailed on me. So that's one. If I see him do it to somebody else, I'm calling you out. Like, I'm the first person to call people out.
I love that.
Like, yeah, don't do business with this person. This is what happened. And I'm not smearing.
It's the truth.
He failed on me. Yeah. I'm not like, well, he's a meanie head and don't, you know, whatever. Like, I'm like, he said yes. Now he doesn't want to. And now I just watched him. Like, I was at an event and this guy just bailed on the speaking event. I'm like, wow. Are you serious right now? Just no showed, just bailed. And then I was at another event where he was supposed to be at, bailed again. I was like, that's two events. Now I'm calling you out.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm calling you out. And then all of a sudden I was the bad guy for causing drama and whatever. I'm like,
right,
dude, transparency and the truth always wins. And I don't see too much of that guy anymore.
Yeah. Well, we've got a predominance of narcissists in our society. And the first thing they'll do is turn it all back on you. So that, it's your fault for what they did.
I'll own that. Yeah, I own it.
Yeah.
Like, I 100%. If they're like, well, you're causing drama, I'm like, yes. Because I live in authenticity and transparency.
Yeah.
And so what I'm doing is telling the world about this one person so that other people don't get screwed by this one person. You'll thank me later when you go to do business with somebody and they hose you for a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's my responsibility as a business owner and entrepreneur with integrity.
Yes.
And as a human.
Yes.
To not let people I care about get screwed over.
Well, hey, Sean, would you be open to this idea? There's a website equivalent called Don't Date 'Em Girl, and it's where women have put up names of bad guys and, you know, don'tdateemgirl.com. And I think there should be the equivalent to business names and owners. I really do.
100%.
And you could go
100%.
And say, don't work with that person.
100%.
I would love to do that. It's high time these people were called
Somebody
out.
Should do that.
Somebody
should do that. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't do business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do business with.com.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like the ripoff report. Like there's a ripoff report.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. Like it's the ripoff report.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I always Google myself. I always do. I'm constantly Googling myself. Like
really?
Like my name and ripoff report, my name and bad business. Like I'm using these terms that people would tell me like he's no good, no value, whatever. Like I'm searching my name and these terms to see if I'm associated with anything that people are posting.
Are you?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not associated with anything bad.
Okay, good.
But I would own it. But I mean, I would own it though. You know, if I did something like, yeah, I did. I did that. I'm sorry. But again, that's integrity. That's authenticity. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I screwed
up. Response.
I made a bad decision. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You make a mature response and you'd think that the other ones would notice what that looks like, but it falls on deaf ears anyway.
100%.
Yeah. So I'm just taking a look at my notes. Hold on one second.
Sure.
You have said there's only one way to feel fulfilled. So I want to jump into that. Say only one way, but I think you said the way to feel fulfilled.
In my opinion, and this may not be a popular opinion, you know what I mean? Again, anything I say on the show is my opinion and my opinion only.
So that's right. And you're a trailblazer, so go for it.
And my intellectual property. The way to feel fulfilled, really, truly happy and really, truly fulfilled is to be living in your purpose and passion. Like literally you are living inside of your purpose and passion, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're a speaker, coach, author, if you're an employee, a contractor, a wife, mother, husband, father, like whatever it is that you're doing, you must operate with passion and purpose. So people who live for the weekend hate their job, right?
Yeah.
They hate their job. People who dread going home hate their home life. That's why people stop at the bar first. Hold on, I gotta get a drink. I'm a simplistic person. Let me break this down for you for 5 seconds.
Okay.
I hate my life. I'm then gonna go to a bar to drink, then get in the car and drive home.
Yep. Right?
To a place I hate. There is so much wrong with that statement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But how many males do that? How many husbands get off of work, go to the bar, drink a beer or two, probably within the limit, maybe you're a little bit over. You then got into a car in the mindset that, oh, God, I got to go home. That's bad.
Yep.
That's how people die.
Yep. That's probably why we have such a high prevalence of road rage now, too.
100%.
Yeah.
That and people just literally just don't understand how to drive. They're either on their phone, they're texting, or they just don't understand that the left lane is not the cruising lane. It's the damn passing lane.
I know, right?
Just saying. Not that I'm road raging at all.
No, no. Just saying. No, just saying.
The DOT handbook.
So what you've brought me to is to comment on in this way, and it's my thing. It's called pester, fester, boom. And so those people have, you know, probably somewhere along the line said, it's really bothering me that I'm not living a good life, or I'm not happy. They push it away, and then it shows up, festers out somewhere other way, and then blows up. Mm-hmm. How can somebody stop that? What do they do? Because that's a bold move to step out of what you've always been doing, mm-hmm. and to challenge your life or your husband, your family, your relatives, all these people, just to make a move in your favor.
Yeah.
How does somebody grasp that idea?
You got to be disciplined. First of all, you got to be disciplined, but you have to want it. You can't just kind of want it. Like, you have to want it, right?
Yeah.
Moreover,
you'll be challenged.
Yeah, but those are the conversations that you have to have with yourself and with people that are involved in that change. Those are the difficult conversations that you have to just say yes and figure it out.
Yeah.
And make it happen. You either make it happen or you make excuses. Your whole life is predicated on either making it happen and getting the results, because you told me that in such a short amount of time, I've made a lot of strides and I've made a lot of great, you know, works and, you know, what have it, and I've gotten a lot of success.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time. What that tells me is that I'm on the right track and I made it happen no matter what.
Yeah.
And it stuck out to people like, wow, you've had fast track of success. How did that happen? I made it happen. I made it happen no matter what. I didn't compromise on, well, I don't feel good, so I'm just not going to send this email today. I'll send it tomorrow. Oh, and then I won't send it tomorrow either, because I just, you know, no. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're following something inside that guides you, that feels right to you. Can look crazy to other people, maybe. How do you handle that? How do you?
We talked about this. And I'm really trying to remember the context that we were talking about. But I have a deep passion and purpose for what I do.
Yeah.
You know, it stems from everything that I've been through.
Yes, you do.
And so that really guides me. But the values that I have and the morals that I have, because if you think of it this way, values are where you want to be in life, and goals are just the accomplishments along the way. So if you want to find out what people value, look at their calendar and look at their bank account, because time and money are two things that people willingly never give up. And so if you say relationships are what I care about, but you've got nothing on your calendar scheduled for time, then that's a lie. If you say you have value relationships, but you spend no money on them, you don't buy your wife flowers, you don't spend time with the kids at the movies, or you go on trips,
right?
You're just secluded from everybody. You're not spending time or money on anything that you care about, or you say that you care about, then that's a lie. So just by figuring out what you spend time and money on, you can pretty much figure out what people value. So values are where you want to be in life, and goals are the accomplishments along the way.
What do you do with the people that are in your way, Sean?
Bulldoze them over.
That's pretty bold.
I run them over. Get out of my way or I'll run you over.
You know what? I applaud that you're just like that. Sure. You're in, you're not. And you handle it, and you don't let I call them hitchhikers.
So I have a funny story for you. I use the Facebook birthday thing to like delete people. And so I'm a
wait. How does that happen? You're supposed to say happy birthday. See, you know,
No, I totally do. No, I totally do.
Oh, okay.
But so I'm a huge wrestling fan. And when WWE lets people go, lets the wrestlers go, they say, we wish you the best in all your future endeavors. So if you ever see me post on somebody's profile and it says, happy birthday, I wish you the best in all your future endeavors, I've literally unfriended you on Facebook.
That's a kiss off.
That's my way of saying bye-bye.
So you don't feel the need to give them any explanation or story. You're just done.
Nope. Yeah. I owe you nothing.
Right, because you didn't have an agreement of any kind in there that, you know, you're not keeping.
I'm not a people pleaser. I'm not here for you. I'm here for you in the sense that I want to give you value. I want to change your life. That's what I live for. I live for giving value. If you look at any post, I'm not me, buy my stuff, like a Grant Cardone or a Brendan Burchard or a lot of the other influencers that are like, hey, guys, I lived at a really crappy place. I'm now at a good place. Buy my stuff to see how I did it. I just tell you how I did it. Like, I just give it away for free. And what's funny is that when I give everything away for free, I actually have more money coming in. That's really stupid. I can't figure this out.
Hey, that's a good system.
I literally, this year, have given away all my stuff for free, and I have more people that I'm working with and more money coming in.
Wow.
It's the most dumbest thing I've ever seen. I can't explain it.
So that's great insight, if you will, maybe even advice for so other speakers.
I gave away everything. I did everything right for free. Like, I was doing like, oh, you need a book launch formula? Here's mine. Oh, you want to know how to get on podcasts? I, by the way, have a service where I get you on podcasts, but you know what? I'll give it away for free. Here's how I do it. Boop. And so I see a lot of people like, it was, here's what sparked this. Yeah. Somebody was selling my book launch formula because I made them a bestseller. We took that book to bestseller. They then said, well, I can do this same thing. And then started selling my tactics and strategies as their own, saying they can make authors a bestseller. I was like, oh no, you don't. Hey guys, you want to be a bestseller? Here's it for free. And then that person got upset, was like, what are you doing, man? I was like, you're not going to profit off me. Like, and then I saw a great response. I was like, wow, people really love this stuff. I got way more where that came from. And so I started just giving everything away for free. And everybody was like, oh my gosh. And then people were like, I want to work with you. I'm like, come work with me then.
Wow.
So I actually sold without even selling. I just led with value. And that's how I'm living my life from now on. I'm leading with value.
That's awesome. You give it away and you get more back, huh?
Yes, I'm here for you in the sense that I care about your success more than my own. Like I do. I just don't care what you think about me. That's the
freedom,
thing,
baby.
That is. Why am I going to, oh man, does Alexis like me? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Would I be heartbroken if you and I like didn't talk after this? I'd be like, dang, I really liked her, you know, but I'm not going to spend time dwelling in it. I'm not going to go out and try to fix it. You know what people do? They're like, that person hates me. And they spend every ounce of energy trying to get that person to like them while they have thousands of people to the right of them that love them and adore them and want to be next to them. But they're concentrating on these five people that have given them a bad review and said, you suck. I'm mature enough to understand that I'm not going to please everybody. And so I don't want to please everybody. I want to please the people that care about me like I care about them. And so I have an intrinsic value about myself that is above all. And so if I'm happy, I can give happy. If I'm mad and pissed off, guess what I'm going to give? Mad and pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah. And so would you say that your happiness cup flows well?
100%. 100%. My happiness cup right now is overflowing so much. I'm giving everyone else happiness from my overflow.
And so
I learned from the Bible, because I'm a Christian, so I don't care what you think about that, but I just am. And I'm a non-denominational Christian, just so you know, okay, that God told me that he loves me. And then with that overflow, I have to love others. So that's what I do. I model what he modeled.
Okay.
So I'm happy. And with the overflow of my happiness from my cup of happiness, I am then loving everybody else and making everybody else happy with the overflow that I have. And that's how I choose to live my life.
I think that's awesome. You don't even have to, that you take a stage and you do have books is coincidental to this perspective I have, in which, you know, if you want to be the change you wish to see in the world. Get, find yourself a happy place and space and just do that. You don't have to have a big platform for it to change the world, because it really does. It really does impact people.
100%.
Yeah, it really does. I have, you wanted to, sorry, hang on. There was one thing that you wanted people to know for sure, and that was about what lies ahead for them. It's kind of up to them. Isn't that something like that?
Yeah. So like my message to the world, right? My message to the world is that you have the power to stand up and write a new chapter. You have the ability to say, this is not how my story ends. I'm living proof of that. You have the ability to say, this is not how my story ends.
Yeah.
So I need you to stand up. I need you to say yes and figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't make excuses. Yeah. Make results. You have the power. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. You have the power.
Wow. That's a big leap for someone who doesn't feel empowered. So where would they go first? What do they do? Call you.
I was thinking, I was like, should I plug myself?
Yes, this is your chance. Please do.
This is a self-serving moment.
Please do. I'm begging you, man.
First of all, let me preface this by saying, if you're not feeling empowered, if you think I'm full of crap, then that's fine. I'm not going to tell you how to think and how to live and how to, that's not my job.
Right.
You need to find something that you're passionate about. You need to find something that you love doing and then try to make money from it.
And that's experimental. It's a process of trial and error, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If I like painting, look at all the famous painters. They love painting. Then they made money from it. That's how entrepreneurship works. You find something you love, you solve a problem, and you get paid for it. Like, it's just like shoveling snow for money, raking leaves. You like doing yard work. Guess what? You own a landscaping company, a lawn care.
Right.
Like, find something you love to do. Or read the Bible. Or go to my website at www.thesuccesscorps, like Marine Corps, thesuccesscorps.com. Send me an email. Get a hold of me on Facebook and LinkedIn. I'd love to have a conversation with you.
That's awesome. That's such a great invitation. I would say that anybody would be lucky to have your time. Like, I feel very fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a free discovery call. Like, well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get on a discovery call to see if we work well together. Like, I know how the game's played. Everybody knows how the game's played. I'm literally telling you, reach out. Let's talk.
That's all I want too, man. Let's just see if there's a fit, if it feels right. And if there's, you know, an opportunity to grow what's current, that's why you would call to begin with, right? Let's just blow this up.
I hate pitching. You know? Like, I hate getting people on the call. Like, well, since you're here, let me tell you about my programs, products, and services. I hate that. Let's just talk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to solve a problem, or what are you doing? I don't know.
Right.
But that's where you're oriented. That's totally what you do. On a personal note, if you were to have, because you've got, you're bodacious at the very least, what would be a bucket list goal for you? Like, wow. Like, and I'm not talking, I want to go to Italy someday. No, is it like cliff diving? Is it, I suck at singing, so I want to do karaoke someday and sound good. Like, what would it be for you?
Well, I absolutely love speaking, right? So, I mean,
yeah.
I got to speak on stage with Tony Robbins, or speak on stage with Zig Ziglar's son. What's his name? Tom Ziglar. I got to speak on stage with Gary Vaynerchuk. Like, that would be like, holy crap. Speak on stage in Australia. You know what I mean? That would be absolutely amazing. You know, and I'm adding to this all the time, my bucket list items, like my wow factors.
Yeah.
Everything runs through my mind. Like, today I'm like, oh, bucket list item today. And then tomorrow I'm like, oh, I'm going to add this. And then,
yeah.
That's but awesome. I gotta speak on stage with like the big dogs.
I hear you.
And I gotta speak in Australia. That would be absolutely amazing.
Where in Australia?
I don't care.
Okay. All right then.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. You just want to be down there with the Aussies.
Yeah.
Radio. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's not a bad goal, and they're a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, mate. How you going? Yeah. Good. We get pull up to the counter and have us a pint. Yeah. I'll get you accustomed to the accent. Perfect. Any final words that you have, dear? No.
You have the power to say this is not how your story ends. So make a decision. You either make excuses or you make results.
It's powerful. Thank you for your time, Sean.
Thank you,
Sean Douglas is amazing. You're amazing. I didn't mean to cut off your namaste. I'll be quiet.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm forever grateful.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. Listen, guys, if you want to get with somebody who is no bullshit, no bones about it, is direct, and you can trust that, that's a rare man right there. I can't speak highly enough about Sean Douglas and the work that he does. That's a mouthful. I tried it. There we go. Stay tuned. We'll have another episode of Bold Movers and Shakers coming right up. Have a great day, or make it a great day. Bye. Okay.